title it Worshiping of Idols. Worshiping of Idols. Because as we talked about idols last week, and well, we talked about worship, and it has to begin with worship. And if we are careful in our worship, it won't lead to idolatry. Because at the base of all false worship, at the base of all these sin, the root cause of it is idolatry. Idolatry mainly is the root cause of all sin. So in Ezekiel chapter 22, it has 31 verses, and it's an indictment against the leaders, against the civil and religious leaders. It's an indictment. He's bringing charges against the people. And these charges are very serious charges. And they had a range of not worshiping the true God, which was at the base of the problem. When you leave off worshiping the true God, as he states in the first commandment, the Lord thy God is a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other gods before him. So an idol is anything that you put before God. Anything that you put in place of God. And these people put everything else in the place of God. And there's a various numbers of things that becomes of idolatry. And it leads to idolatry. And we have to see that New Testament times very, very vividly. It's greater in New Testament time than Old Testament times, because mainly you think about images or wooden carvings or different things in the Old Testament. The New Testament is much broader. It's much more pervasive. The figurative terminology, the term idolatry, is used to designate covetousness, which takes mammon for its god. We see that in the prosperity churches. Godliness is gain. It's all about material things. Things that's tangible. Things that would perish. If we need to look at some of the characteristics of what idolatry is. But first I want to maybe go into this when I said that it's in the New Testament is to designate covetousness, which takes mammon for its God. In Matthew 6, chapter the 24th verse, it says, "No one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is deceitfulness of riches, money, possessions, or whatever you trust in. Whatever you trust in. God has to be your ultimate trust. You have to trust and rely on Christ more than anything else. Coming from the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 5th verse, we look at covetousness here and again. "For to be sure of this, that no person practicing sexual vice or impurity in thought or in life." That was one of the things, the allegations, the indictments that he brought in this 22nd chapter. Sexual vice, uncleanliness. And in the New Testament it says even in thought, impurity in thought. So that enters in watching television and watching and looking at sexual implicit things on the computer or just in life, in the world. You know, the way a lot of these young ladies or young men dress, a lot of things they do, it breeds idolatry. It breeds lust in the heart. It breeds, that's why Jesus said, "He who looketh after a woman to lust after her have committed adultery already in the heart." Any of the soap operas, we're talking idolatry. Because you're looking at impure motives. You're looking at immorality. You're looking at sexual vice. Because they're all about somebody in a sexual liaison, whether they married or not married, married to somebody else or whatever. And it's pervasive in all the sitcoms. It's about women or men that's not married, but going together. Not married, but living together. Not married, but, as they call it, friends with benefits. And all this is falls into that line and says, a one who is covetous, in other words, who has lustful desire for the properties of others and is greedy for gain. Someone else's boyfriend, girlfriend, someone else's vehicle, someone else's home, car, whatever. Whatever it is, it's covetousness. Desiring the property of something of someone else. Thou shalt not covet. That's covetousness. Covetousness, for in effect, is an idolater. A covetous person is an idolater. So your worship is void in front of God because you idolate. He says, no idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. No inheritance there. Because the covetousness in your heart turns you away from God. You're worshiping something other than God because you're being disobedient to the laws of God. That's why Job said he had made a covenant with his eyes that he wouldn't set anything before them. So to sit up and look at the programs that come out in the television, that come out and think, it's been years since me and my wife have been able to go to a movie. Because all of the ratings, all of the shows in those movies, they will have sexual scenes. Well, they're going to have murder and killing and other vices. So that's the world. That's why we have to come away from the world, the things of the world. Colossians 3 and 5. Colossians 3 and 5, it says. So, in other words, we have to mortify. In other words, dead, to kill, or deprive those things in our body. Those images, those thoughts, those pleasures, those things that feed idolatry, the evil desires lurking in your members, those animal impulses and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin. Because we're going to take somebody's side, we're going to be a partaker of it. Well, even sitting there watching the lewdness of the dancing on Dancing with the Stars, it's vulgarity, it's lasciviousness in the way that they dress, even in our music and our songs. So television and music are some of the greatest things that leads us into idolatry at this day and time. That's why holiness is a narrow way. It's a very narrow way. And God's looking for, if you look at the last few verses of that 22nd chapter, the 38th verse, it says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God's still looking for that man or woman to stand in the gap, to be able to plead for your children, to be able to plead for your home, to be able to plead for those on your job, those that are your relatives, to plead for your community, to plead for your city, to plead for your state and your nation. God's looking for a man. He's still looking for that man. He's looking for one. Isaiah said, Lord, send me. I'm here. Send me. But in Colossians 3 and 5, it says, sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness. But that is idolatry. In other words, the deifying of self and other created things instead of God. In other words, I deserve this. I'm worth this. This is mine. A lot of people deify or make idols of their children. That's my child. No one can harm my child. And they go keep their child from all harm, keep them balanced, keep them up. They're making that child as an idol. That's an idol. But when Jesus came, he said he was going to bring a sword and not peace. In other words, when Jesus comes, when we start watching it and taking heed to God's word, it causes a division in the home. It causes a division in life. But we have to be those individuals that stand in the gap. We can't go to worshiping idols and allow that to be a fundamental building block in our lives. We have to get away from it's lurking at every corner. And we have to be as God warned Cain. When he came and brought his offering, he didn't accept his offering because he said sin crouches. Sin lies at the door and its desire is to rule over you, but you should rule over it. God has given us strength to rule over sin. He's given us strength to have the victory by giving us of his spirit. And the only way we can do that is to receive greater grace, is to resist the devil, to resist the impulses and deaden this old fleshly man. We can't entertain it. We can't feed sensual lust. We can't gratify appetites. As I told you, this is at the root of the problem. This lies within us. When we attempt to do good, Hebrews right there saying about, I have to do something because my pants, I'm not losing weight the way I should have. That's a sign of loss of control. Appetite. And consistently, when the world starts telling us things, when the world tells church and its people something, we may ought to listen. And if the world's telling us we are obese nation, we are overweight, we're grossly overweight, it's morbidity, but that's a sign of a society in danger. It's a society that the physical as impending on the spiritual, you're losing control. It's a loss of control. Appetites of gluttony is also included under idolatry. Your appetite. Gluttony is a sin. The desire, the consistency of eating is one of the seven deadly sins. It's one of the seven deadly sins. It shows a lack of control with the body, with the appetite. Philippians, 3rd chapter of Philippians, 18th through the 19th verse. For there are many of whom I have often told you, and I tell you, even with tears. Apostle Paul is crying. He's in disarray speaking. He says, who walk, who live as enemies of the cross of Christ. They are enemies of the cross. They are doomed, and their faith is eternal misery. In other words, destruction. Their God is their stomach. It's their appetites, their sensuality. I see that woman, I want that, I'm going to get it. I see that man, I'm going to dress any kind of way, I'm going to do anything to get that man, to get that woman. Food is so easy to get. I'm going to stop here. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to go to Piccadilly. I'm going to go to Jack in the Box. I can stop right here at Raising Cane. Food is so abundant. It's on every corner, and it's dirt cheap. So a lot of time we eat just to be eating. We're not hungry a lot of times. It's just a way of life. We're given to those pleasures. Our God is our belly. Well, I'm going to buy this for myself. And that's what Jezebel did. That's what Balaam did. Had the people eating foods that were sacrificed unto idols. In other words, their appetites. The ball games. Most people nowadays, a lot of them don't even go to the ball games. They're outside tailgating. They just go to the ball game to tailgate. In other words, to eat and drink. To have fun. That's idolatry. A nation that's given to pleasure, eating and drinking. That was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. That was the sin that was insatiable. They were satiated. In other words, they didn't want to share. They wanted to consume everything upon their own lust. That's a problem. That's why the preachers have to preach to the church, not the world. We're trying to get the church right. It's for the edification of the church. That's why I was telling you about Rick Warren, a lot of the pastors telling their people, we have to go on diets, people. That also helps control your finances. Because you try to keep your cupboard stocked in the things you're eating. The government is helping us by putting the nutritious things, the food on the labels. We have to be careful because our bodies are not our bodies. We're idolaters. We're not taking care of that which God gave us. And their glory in their shame. siding with earthly things and being a party of that. Listen at this through the Living Bible. As the Living Bible, I want to read that verse. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Pattern your life after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct, their way of life, the way they do things, shows that they are really enemies of Christ. It's the way they live it, not what they say, not going to church and everything. That's not what it is. I could see it in your life. I could see your conduct. I could see what you're living. That they are enemies of the cross. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. All we can get. In other words, raises. They want more money. They're consumed with money, wealth, and prosperity. All of the churches are consumed with prosperity. They're forgetting, seek ye first the kingdom of God, that these will be added unto you. But they're seeking all things to gratify themselves, to gratify self. Self is their God. Self sits on the throne. It says, they brag about shameful things. In other words, about their cars, how nice their home is, about their boyfriends, about saying this, or what they told somebody. Just despicable things, things that shouldn't even be talked about. There are women and men discussing their sexual relations with other people of what's going on behind closed doors, which should be ashamed to talk about. All these things, the gratification of pride, prosperity, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. We are idolatrous nature and getting worse. There's no repair. And these are the indictments, and the preacher should be indicting the people, telling the people that this is rampant in the church. We're not talking about the world. We're talking about what's going on in God's house. He says, their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things. And they think about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. We will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power which he will bring everything under his control. Listen at that 19th verse one more time. And they think about this life here on earth. I was talking to someone the other day, and they say, you're a doomsday preacher. You like Jeremiah. Thank God for that. I'm like Ezekiel. Thank God for that. It's no preacher. Even the Apostle Paul preached about end times. See, they don't want the world to end because this is their heaven right here. They're thinking about living for this life. If your preacher not telling you about the end time and telling you about the next life. See, that's what preaching is. Telling you that you must have to die to yourself. You must lose your life here on earth. You have to die out to this old world. If you love this world, you can't love God. If you're friends of the world, you can't be friends of God. You have to, all that this life and that this life has to offer, you have to do like Moses did, turn your back on it. He turned his back up on Egypt. He could have been a pharaoh. He could have been in charge in Egypt. You have to deny yourself. Deny all these things. And take up your cross and follow after Christ. He gave it up. He gave up all. He laid it all aside. We have to do the same. We have to be equipped with that same mind. But it's idolatry because we're putting this world ahead of Christ. We're putting all ahead of God. We can't do that. It's worshiping idols when you do those things. Their destination is destruction. Their God is their appetites. They set their mind on earthly things. We can't set our mind on earthly things. Our mind has to be on heavenly things. Has to be. Has to be. The book of Romans, the 16th chapter, 17th through the 18th verse, Paul, again, appeals to the doctrine. He says, I appeal to you, brethren, to be on your guard concerning those who create dissensions and difficulties and cause divisions in opposition to the doctrine. In other words, in opposition to the Word of God. If it's not in God's Word, we shouldn't teach it or preach it. It's forbidden if it's not the Word. Man shall live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Nothing external to that. But they're not following sound doctrine, sound teaching, says, which you have been taught. I warn you to turn aside from them. Avoid them. Flee from them. You have to flee idolatry because that's corrupting. It's a base sin. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. Getting you into that church, the devices that they use to get you into that church, feathers their nest. It feathers their bed. You paying for that Mercedes, you paying for that jet, it's feeding their luxurious lifetime. You're nothing but merchandise under them. They're not caring about you. They're caring for the way of life that they live. They don't have you on their mind. Their God is their bodies, their stomach, their interests, their passions and their lusts, to be able to sit up and eat a fancy meal, to be able to ride high, sit high, and dress high. That's their gods. Paul said, I warn you, this is those that's coming with false doctrines, things contrary to the Word of God. Lord, but their appetites and base desires, and by ingratiating and flattering speech, they beguile the hearts of the unsuspected and simple-minded people. Now I urge you, brothers, to closely watch those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to sound doctrine. Learn to avoid them. They have flattering speech and they beguile the unsuspecting and the simple-minded. Christ, but their own appetites through small, smooth talk and flattering, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 1st to the 5th verse. But I understand this, that in the last days will come perilous times of great distress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self, utterly self-centered, lovers of money, and aroused by inordinate, in other words, a greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant, and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, in other words, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural, in other words, without human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, in other words, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate, and loose in morals and conduct. I tell you, they were sexually immoral. Their words, you notice the rap music, all this rude, crude speech, it fears the air. It's a sign of idolatry. All this is an idolatrous nation, idolatrous people. Uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good, they will be treacherous and betrayers, rash and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of God. They'll rather stay home and watch this thing on television. They would rather sit there and play those games, those video games. They would come up with all kinds of excuses for not frequenting the house of God. They'll put everything in life before those of God. They'll always have reason. For although they hold a form of piety, in other words, they hold a form of true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it because their conduct belies their ingenuineness. In other words, you can see in their conduct they're not all what they say they are. You can see how a person acts. You can see by character what that person is. Avoid all such people. turn away from them. Here is he telling through the apostle to the apostle Paul is telling to Timothy to avoid them, turn away from them at all costs. You should know this, Timothy. You should really know these things. When we talk about sensual, that's a characteristic of humanity. In other words, it's relating to producing physical, a sexual pleasure, a sensuous person. It's devoted to or relating to producing physical, a sexual pleasure. Relating to or consisting in the gratification of the senses, of the indulgence of appetites, fleshly. That's why Paul said you're still carnal. Devoted to or preoccupied with the senses or appetite. Deficient in moral, spiritual, or intellectual interest. In other words, they're worldly, irreligious. They're deficient, short of morals, short of spiritual insight. I don't want to sit there and study God's word to show themselves approved. We become as our idols. We become as our idols. That we worship, that we follow over to. The authorities, the government is what leads us into idolatry. Because they establish laws that are not God's laws, they're not convenient. And they have a wrong use of power. They abuse power. And God spoke about using power and what happened amongst his people. It was with Simeon and Levi in the book of Genesis when they went in and did what they did to Shechem's son about having a relationship with their daughter, Dinah. Genesis 49:5-7, it says, Simeon and Levi are brothers, equally headstrong, deceitful, vindictive, and cruel. Their swords are weapons of violence. A lot of people don't like to call something what it is. This is his sons he's talking about. We have to look and see what our sons are, what our children are, what our daughters are. God tells us. We have to see these things. We have to pray that God deal with it. We have to pray that God's in charge of all that. But we have to face reality. This is something that, this is a prayer that, you remember, Jacob was praying at the end to all 12 of his son. He prayed instead of prophecy. He said, O my soul, come not into their secret council, unto their assembly. Let not my honor be united, for I knew of nothing of their plot. In other words, he didn't know that they were going to do this treachery. A lot of the things your children do, you don't know of it. You don't know what's going on. That's why you have to pray to God and you have to look to God in these things. Let God resolve these issues. A lot of people, oh, that's my son. You don't know your son or whatever. You hope they didn't or whatever. But Job, he offered up sacrifices daily because he said, perhaps my children have sinned. Because in their anger they slew men and honored men, Shechem and the Shechemites. And in their self-will they did Saban and Oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce in their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. In other words, they were to live, but they wasn't to be united. That's what happens with the state, with the city, with this nation. With households where there are cruel people, where the government goes astray. Whether it be of the household or the society, God has to scatter, he has to take that power away from them. Whether it's a power of judgment unto death, or whether it's a power of keeping you down. You see, because prosperity destroys the food. Some people can't do with power. You know, it's a lot of parents want to wield that power over their children. That's why a lot of them lose their children. Because that child is an adult and gone off somewhere. You still trying to wield power, you're not going to see that child that much anymore. But if you let God be God and you live according to God, visit you, he'll do for you and he'll be around you.
Because they have to live their life whether they corrupt or not. You have to live your life. But you can't control their life anymore because they've left home. They've left mom and daddy. But see, we are authority hungry. We greedy. We want the use of that power. We're not going to have that authority. And that's the same way we've done God. We're not listening at what God said. God's speaking to us and telling us, and we're just like our children. We've gone off on tangents. We've gone separate ways. Idols, the pleasure of things and wealth. This was the Laodiceans. We look at the book of Laodiceans, Sister Jackson, and we'll see that the Laodiceans wasn't lazy, but they were just spending huge amounts of time on the wrong things. A lot of people spend a huge amount of time watching television. They spend a huge amount of time with friends and foolish talking and all other pursuits. They spend an inordinate amount of time on everything and saying that they're not that bad. But it may be something else, even studying the Bible, but it may be for the wrong intent. Is it with a pure heart, with a pure motive? You see, because there are those that have sinned, children of God, as 1 John say, if you sin, you have an advocate with Father. That's why a lot of Christians are miserable. There are a lot of Christians that are miserable because they're walking in darkness. In other words, there's sin. That sin has shut them off from fellowship with God. They're not out of the church, but they're like David. David's sin shut him off with fellowship from God. And that whole time, he says, my bones ache. During that whole year, too, that David was away from God, he wasn't right. That's why he asked God to take down his spirit. There's a lot of saints, when you see them, something's wrong. The problem is, God, they should have a peace and a joy that can nothing take away. But if that peace and joy has eluded them, they need to check their spirituality. There's an idol came in and removed them from worshiping God, removed them from fellowshipping with God. Because God can't have fellowship with us while we're walking in darkness. So there, I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about people that believe in God are not walking in fellowship with God, though they are Christians. They're struggling in reading their Bible. They're struggling in praying. They're struggling talking about God. But God doesn't have that fellowship with them because there's something in their life worshiping an idol. Some demon, something has them separated, has caused God to turn his back, to turn his face away from them. He hadn't denied them. You know how sometimes your children do things and you might not favor that child at that time. You might not give them what they want. You might just skate arms and it's not that that's not your child or whatever. It's something keeping the relationship not right. It's something that has that relationship to where it is not congruent. Wealth and idolatry. So that's why he says you shall have no other gods before me. Because when you worship something else, false gods is idolatry. That's why he named it idolatry, a fornication, because a sexual sin was the easiest way or the best way to portray it, how serious it was. Spiritual idolatry, in other words, following false worship, following vain teaching, following other doctrines, other teachings, because we want to listen at this and listen at that. You've left the path. You strayed from the path. And that's prohibited. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon, it could be a false religion. The religion is usually government. Government is what leads a nation into idolatry, as I told you. It is government that legalized gambling. Right? You can go anywhere and gamble. It is government that can legalize homosexual marriage. Right? It is government that legalize adultery. They recognize divorce. It's the courts.
is government that set the law, and government's supposed to be an arm of God. There's no government authority in power but that of God, ordained of God. So that means these are servants of God that are not doing what they're supposed to be, not walking according to the doctrines of God. The corrupt governments. And that's why he's indicting, I told you, the civil and religious leaders here, because your preacher can lead you astray. Teachers can lead you astray. So that's why he says the false prophets, the preachers, the priests, the leaders had led his people astray. There were wolves in sheep's clothing. Paul said after he left, grievous wolves would enter into the flock. We're in a time now, as Jesus prophesied, that there'll be many false Christs come. There'll be many antichrists. Right now, there the world is saturated with false prophets and false priests. But you can't identify them because you're not walking in the light. If you're walking in the light, a false prophet can't deceive you. The word of God, you have the confidence that the false prophets could deceive, if possible, the elect. It's not possible for them to fool a true child of God. Now, that's the one that could be some that's walking in darkness that the false prophets deceive. Because there are many religions right here in this state. You done heard of the Brave program. You done heard a lot of these Brave programs. And they hooked up with the churches. Corrupted. The churches are corrupted. It was a corrupt church that bagged the mayor in something that he did against the police chief right here in the city of Baton Rouge. It was the church that stood by. The church and religion always end up into a corrupt relationship. That's why it could only come in unison under Christ Jesus. But not under false Christ. Not under false preachers and these false leaders. This system has to fall. This world system has to fall. That's why people in churches don't want you to preach of end time in this world coming to an end, because they are part of the world system. And you're talking about ending the world system, it'll be just like the Pharisees that crucified Jesus. It was the Pharisees that helped put Jesus to death, because they say, if we don't shut him up, if we don't kill him, the Romans will come in here and take our place away from us. The churches don't want the world to come into an end. Because they're living in the lap of luxury. They're living after this life. They're all worshiping of idols. Satan tried to get Jesus. He says, all that's in this world, if you would bow down and worship to me, this has been delivered to me, and I'll give it to you. That's the same deal he's giving to all these other men. And God's looking for a man that's not willing to bow down, that's willing to say, thou shalt worship the Lord, and him only shall thou worship. But they would rather a mega church. They would rather preach what's just like Demas. Demas forsook Paul. He didn't say he got out of religion. He forsook Paul for this present world. Everybody loves this present world. This is false. This is illusion. This is an idol. This is perishable. It is government that established Sabbath breaking. It was Constantine. It was Augustine. All these, the Catholic Church that changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. It's human philosophy that changed the Sabbath. They brought in Sabbath breaking. There's sin that leads to death. All this is idolatry. We can't pray for this. We can't walk in this. Even if our parents and things have walked in these things, we have to walk in the light that God has revealed to us. There's a sin that leads to 1 John 5th chapter 15 to 21. It says, and if since we positively know that he listened to us, in whatever we ask, we also know with certain absolute knowledge that we have granted us our possessions, the request that we make of him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin that does not lead to death, he will pray and God will give him life. Yes, he will grant life to all those whose sin is not one leading to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. So he's praying for someone that commits that unpardonable sin. All wrongdoing is sin. All wrongdoing is sin. And there is sin which does not involve death, and it may be repented of and forgiven. We know absolutely that anyone born of God, here we go talking about true children of God, does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin. But the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects him. Christ's divine presence within him preserves him against the evil. And the wicked one does not lay hold or get a grip on him. We know positively that we are of God. And the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one. He keeps us in the world, but he keeps us from the evil that's in the world. And we have seen and know positively that the Son of God has actually come to this world and has given us understanding and insight. In other words, to progressively to perceive and recognize and come to know better and more clearly him who is true. And we are in him who is true and in his Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This is the true God and eternal life. This is the almost the end of the New Testament I'm reading here, right? 1 John 5. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Here it is again. He says, little children, keep yourselves from idols, false gods. Listen, he says, this is the idols. From anything and everything that would occupy the place in your heart that's due to God. From any sort of substitute for him that would take first place in your life. Well, honey, tonight we got to do this or whatever. Okay, well, I'm just going to call the pastor. We're just not going to do this and that day. That's your idol. Right there. Not God, but your wife. Your husband. Well, honey, we can't give this to God. We can't do that because we have to do this. That's your idol right there. See, those things that's coming before God, you have to deny even your own self. A lot of times I don't feel like coming. A lot of times you may not feel like coming. But I'm going to deny myself the pleasure of laying at home and enduring this pain at home. I'm going to come to church and bear this pain. He says, I'm going to set the father against the son. I'm going to put the household at variance because why? I want to go to church tonight, but everybody else found something else they want to do. I need to help my children, so I'm not going to be able to help the church. I'm not going to be able to give this and that. Oh, those are your idols. You take it from God to give to them. They come before God. God says you have to even deny your own self and take up that cross to follow after him. Anything for any substitute for him that would take first place in your life. The Living Bible reads, dear children, keep from away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. We keep hearing about this sin and the death. What is this sin that leads to death? It varies by different teachers, preachers, scholars, and commentators just what that sin is. A lot of them say it is blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, according to Mark 3:29. In the Amplified, it reads, but whosoever speaks abusively against or maliciously represents the Holy Spirit can never get forgiveness, but is guilty of and is in the grasp of an everlasting trespass. That's why I don't push God up on my children or relatives or somebody who I've already witnessed to, because I would be going against Scripture. Because Scripture says, after the second admonition, leave that person alone. You have people all the time like, forget you and your God. You have people that don't want anything to do with your religion. Now you causing that child or provoking that child to blaspheme because he's not going to have anything to do with you or your church. He don't want to hear what you're saying anymore. You have to do that. You have to be wise in serving God. It may be for somebody else to get through to it.
It may be for somebody else to teach and preach to. If you've told him and warned him, now you have to do what? It says, follow peace with all men as much as possible lies within you. If you know these things cause a division between y'all, if you was friends, you wouldn't bring that up. And the Living Bible says, I tell you the truth, all sin and blasphemy can be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. This is a sin with eternal consequences. He told them this because they were saying he possessed a devil, an evil spirit. In the modern version it says, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal judgment. Lack of discernment, a lot of them say lack of discernment is the unpardonable sin, the unforgiving sin. That's because of, you remember the communion or partaking of the body of Christ without discerning, untaking it unworthy, and that's in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 27 to 30, verse. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and unhealthy among you, and many die. So taking communion, they say, is that unpardonable sin because it causes sicknesses and death. So we have to make sure that we're examining ourselves and our lives. A lot of our health may be deteriorating. A lot of may be weak and going through some infirmity because even some of them died because of this. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord. So God is disciplining them in this way and with this. I could read the 30th verse of that same thing in the Living Bible. It says, that careless and unworthy participation is the reason many of you are weak and sickly, and quite enough of you have fallen into the sleep of death. Now it says the sleep of death. It didn't say a loss of death. In other words, the reason it says the sleep of death, a lot of people say about Ananias and Sapphira that they wasn't unbelievers, but that they were disobedient believers and the Lord smote them with death. So it's not that they were lost. Just like I said, it's a lot of people that's not walking in fellowship with God. A lot of Christians that aren't enjoying the full potential of their lives because they're walking in disobedience or walking in worshiping of idols. There are characteristics of idols. One is insentia. In other words, lacking perception of consciousness. That's a characteristic of an idol. You see that in Deuteronomy 4 and 28 where it says, today I call heaven and earth as a witness against you. If you break my covenant, you will disappear from the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. You will live there only a short time, then you will be utterly destroyed. For the Lord will scatter you among the nations where only a few of you will survive. There in a foreign land you will worship idols made from wood and stone, gods that neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell, but from there you will search again for the Lord your God. So a lot of people are working for cars, working for houses, televisions, computers, whatever it is. The idol, these things can't grant them anything. All it is an inanimate object that they're worshiping. This is what they're serving. They may be serving their job. They want to work, consistently work. Whatever these things are idols in their lives, but they are merely silver and gold. And idols are perishable. That's another characteristic of an idol. They're perishable. To whom, Isaiah 40 and 20 says, to whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in a mold, overlaid with gold, and decorated with silver chains,
If people are too poor for that, they might at least choose wood that won't decay and a skilled craftsman to carve an image that won't fall. In other words, you making things here on earth your gods, and you can't make an image. That's why it says make no graven images. God is a spirit. And those that worship him have to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why we have no images of Jesus Christ. That's why that sacrilegious picture, Passion of Christ, and all these movies that's coming on television, these people with Touched by Angel, they made a couple of biblical pictures and they got another one coming out or whatever. All that sacrilege, and that's the way the Americans cause us to commit idolatry. They cause us to commit idolatry by portraying these things of these God things. God is, you have to view God in faith. If anyone told you they've seen Christ, they've lied to you. Believe them not, Christ says. And we shouldn't go around portraying Christ. Gods are helpless. They can't help themselves. It was just like Dagon kept falling on the threshold before the God's Ark of the Covenant because of God is helpless. There's nothing to a God. They're unworthy of worship of intelligent beings. Why would you worship something that you could make or that you could carve or that you could see that's tangible that won't be here? Gods are degrading. They're degrading and they cause you to degrade themselves. They turn you into, it says Romans 1:22, claiming to be wise, they became fools. Professing to be smart, they made simpletons of themselves. And by them the glory and the majesty and excellence of the immortal God were exchanged for and represented by images resembling mortal man and birds and beasts and reptiles. That's why God turned them over to worship the creature. He turned them over to homosexuality. He turned them over to lesbianism. He turned them over to bestiality. He turned them over to going after things that don't fulfill. He turned them over to passions and desires that can't be fulfilled. If you love porn, he'll give you all the pornography that you can stomach. And it won't satisfy. He'll turn you over. That's a reprobate mind. In other words, going away from God because it degrades you. It turns you into antisocial. Whatever it is that this appetite, whether it's drugs, you can't be satisfied with drugs, painkillers, or whatever the addiction, God turns you over to these things because you've left God. Food sacrificed to idols. Food sacrificed to idols. Do I have enough time to complete this one? We see in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. Now, regarding your questions about food that has been offered to idols, yes, we know that we all have knowledge about this issue. But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much. But the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes. So what about eating meat that has been offered to idols? Well, we all know that an idol is not really of God and that there is only one God. Like I said, there's no such thing as an idol. Idol is nothing. It's vanity. So there's nothing wrong with meat. We have knowledge that we can eat meat. We can eat any meat, and there's no problem with those things. But see, that's why I say we study sometimes, and knowledge puffeth up. But see, love is what it is. See, sometimes out of love, you might not share more and more the gospel with your relatives. You may not tell someone else because their conscience can't accept. A lot of people tell their children about this and that church, well, that child, she's living with a man. He's going out with every girl he can. They're not trying to change their lives, and you got them in church being this and committing them. You causing them to be just as hypocritical and sacrilegious. You wait till God convicts them. They'll come into the church. You wait till God, but if they're just trying to please you, ain't that something?
They'll come fool you and sit up in church to get money from you. They'll come fool you and go to church and do all these things. And church people are some of the worst people in the world. I have never seen such hypocrisy as in the state of Louisiana, state of South Carolina, all these Bible Belt states. This state probably elected a governor that's committing adultery. This state has elected officials that are worse than anything, and they hide behind the Bible. The preacher grabbed the Bible and ran in the pulpit, and it says Satan ministers are transforming the angels of light. They know they're not, at least, if they're honest, they say, well, look, I can't live that way or whatever. Okay, you warned him or whatever. They're out of your jurisdiction. Apollos fed, he says, I warned one planet, God give it the increase. Well, you done preached him and you done told him, you done did your job, and you just live your life the right way. Somebody, God has sent somebody else and that's a child of God. But the problem is, we go steal somebody's conscience. This was this nut, this lady in Arizona somewhere, Senator Thomas, we ought to make people go to church on Sunday. Everybody ought to be required. Well, hold on, what kind of religion? God doesn't do this. What kind of Christian? That's why it's the Antichrist that's saying, I told you, it is government that causes idolatry. It is government that brings these things about. There's one God, but by whom are all things created and from whom we live. And there's one Lord Jesus Christ, to whom all things were created and through whom we live. However, not all believers know this. There are some people in the different churches don't understand and know this, in different religions that don't understand. Know this. It says, not all believers. Now, they believe in God. They may not be in a church that's teaching God as the church you're in that's teaching God, but there were seven churches in the book of Revelation. Apparently, they wasn't all teaching the same thing, but there were believers in all of those churches, but they were exposed to wrong doctrine. So he says, some are accustomed to thinking of idols as being real. So when they eat food that has been offered to idols, they think of it as the worship of real gods. And their weak consciousness is violated. If it's true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat, we know that. Food does not commend us to God. We can't win approval from God by what we eat. He says, we don't lose anything if we don't eat it, and we don't gain anything if we do eat it. Right? That's neutral. But you must be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. That person, see, you doing that, he's good. You're going to mess his mind up. You can mess his conscience up because he's not to the point where he can understand that. That's a child. He says, for if others see you with your superior knowledge eating in the temple of Allah, won't they be encouraged to violate their conscience by eating food that has been offered to an idol? So because of your superior knowledge, a weak believer for whom Christ died will be destroyed because he was trying to do what he saw you do, but his mind was convicting him. He didn't have the faith that you had. Christ was very sensitive. Christ realized this with his disciples. He says, I have many things to tell you, but you're not able to receive those now. There's a lot of things I can preach and teach to you, but you'll go out there and get yourself in trouble with. You'll go out there, not out of love, and you preaching the doctrine or trying to teach this to this person that's an unbeliever. You and him will be enemies forever because they're already an unbeliever. They just do believe in God. But you're trying to teach them some deeper doctrines, some deeper teachings of Christ? Let them eat baby food first. then now you ain't ready for the real me. Why should I go out there and tell somebody about tattoos and marks on their body who's not even going to church fellowship, who's not going to church on a regular basis? Why should I tell them about something like that? I would ruin that person. So because of your superior knowledge, we've destroyed this that we could have planted a seed. Paul, Jesus said, I have some things to tell you, but you're not able to receive that. Out of love, I was with my brother today. I had to take him somewhere. Anything really come up, I just helped him or whatever. Because I really pray for him. I feel sorry for him. But he's not able to receive it. Loving, a good person. He will do anything in the world for me. I've seen both my brothers today. They would call me yesterday. They're very close. But this is something they can't receive. Why should I cause that to make it with me and my brother and with one another? Jesus' brothers didn't believe in him. Jesus' brothers didn't follow him. They didn't. Go up to they told him, go up to Jerusalem and prove yourself, and you see who you is. Nothing had followed Jesus in his earthly life. That's why he commended his mother into John's hand. After the resurrection, after all this, is when James and Jude start following him. See, you're trying to bring somebody along because it's your lust. You want to save your children. You want to save your brothers. You want to do, self wants to do this. You don't want God to do it. You might be dead when that person comes around. But you want to see that with your own eyes. That's an idol. That's what's left. Make that little idol. That's your little project. You want to be that person. You want to accomplish that. We follow our parents because our parents loved it wrong. Our parents believe in Christmas and all these holidays and everything. I love my parents. My parents were good people. They were wrong. God has given me light. So right there with Sabbath keeping, and all these other things. I have to live where I'm at. It's not cause of division. They're not here now. But if it would have caused a division or whatever, the division had to be. But see, it's a division between me and my brothers and things now. But it's a peaceful and a joyful division because that's their lives and that's up to them and God. I have to save myself from this untoward generation. Do what God told me. So don't allow that because you know all these scriptures and try to flood somebody on the street with scriptures. God was telling me about, he told a woman about divorce and all that. Well, she might not want to hear that. That's, they separate y'all as friends and everything. Did she ask you about that? Did she watch when witnessing? A lot of time, advice given is rejected a lot of time if it's not asked for. Did somebody ask you this? Did you volunteer this? See, because now, when you volunteered, was this of the Spirit of the Lord? See, because God is not the author of confusion. If y'all had gotten a big fuss and a fight behind this, maybe Satan did that. Because God is not the author of confusion. So a lot of times I ease things in on people, you know, and I do it while washing and everything else or doing anything. So I'm following God, but I have to be watchful of what can evolve from these things. Where I'm at here. Let me close with this. Now, these things are examples or warnings or admonition for us not to desire a crave, a covet, a lust after evil and carnal things as they did. And that could be our parents. That would be the same as the children of Israel that crossed the Red Sea. Do not be worshippers of false gods as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to sport. In other words, to dance and give way to jesting and hilarity. We must not gratify evil desire and indulge in immorality as some of them did, and 3,000 fell dead in the same day. We should not tempt
the Lord thy God. Try his patience, become a trial to him, a critical, appraise him, and exploit his goodness, as some of them did and were killed by poisonous serpents. Not discontently complain, as some of them murmur, as some of them also murmured and were put out of the way entirely by the destroyer. So are we a murmur? That's the same thing. That's idolatry. Are you always grumbling and complaining? That's why God destroyed them, for murmuring and complaining, because the situation they were in was coming from God, so why complain about it? Why murmur about it? Now these things befell them by way of a figure, as an example and a warning to us, that were written to admonish and us for right actions by good instruction, when whose days the ages have reached their climax. In other words, we're at the end of the period. And we have to teach that we're at the end of the thing that is falling on our shoulders, and there are our examples that we shouldn't or should do some of the things they did or didn't do. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands, who feels sure that he has a steadfast mind and is standing firm, take heed lest he fall. Don't get too high-minded now. Think you standing tall on someone else or you fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. God is faithful, and he will not allow the temptations to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance, and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience, and such as a man can bear. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried beyond your ability.